ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as being a person who was very trustworthy. He is called Al-Amin, Amanat-Dar. Now, what is Amana? Thing to understand is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Amin to the extent where even when the day that he left for Medina on Hijrah, there were people waiting to kill him. There were people waiting outside his house with the intention of assassinating him. Even at that time, he had with him the amanat, the trusts of various people of Makkah. So obviously, these were not people who were Muslim. They were not his supporters. They were people who were the people of Makkah who had kept, but still they had kept their wealth. They had kept their important things with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even though they didn't follow him and they did not believe in him as a messenger of Allah, they trusted him as being a person who was highly trustworthy, Al-Amin. So when he was leaving, he gave those things which he was keeping in trust, the amanat that he was holding, to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he asked him to pass them on to their rightful owners. And then he left. So what is amana? Amana is something that does not belong to you. It is something that you may use, you may benefit from it, but it does not belong to you, meaning that it is something which actually belongs to somebody else, which has been given to you in trust, which you are supposed to return, or you are supposed to do with it what you have been told to do with it. So two kinds of things. One is that I give you something in amanah and say give it back to me, or I might give you something and say here is this money, this is to be conveyed to this particular school. So and I may say that while doing that, the expenses that you incur in going to that school and so on, you may take out of the same money. So you can use the money for that purpose, and then the money must be conveyed to where it is supposed to go to. I remind myself and you that in this entire discussion of amana, I deliberately did not mention the greatest amana that Rasulullah ﷺ held, which was the amana of the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This was the amanah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This was the amanah that was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that was the amanah. And as I said, the amanah belongs to the owner. The job of the Nabi is to convey it to the people for whom it is meant. And that was the job of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. Go and communicate what has been sent to you. My brothers and sisters, it's our great honor and privilege that as the ummatis of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also got the same amana from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the same trust. That is, that this amana is to be conveyed to the inhabitants of the earth, and that is the job of the Nabi, and this job was given to the ummat of the last Nabi because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom ended Nabuwat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, this amana of conveying the message has been given to us. Now, as I mentioned before, the thing about amana is that trust is something that takes a lifetime to build, that can be lost in an instant, that we are questionable for, and it is something that we don't own. We are supposed to give it to whoever it is meant for. So if you do not fulfill the amana, then we are guilty and culpable. If you fulfill the amana, then we are people who will be rewarded, inshallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the amana of this iman, the amana of this deen. My brothers and sisters, I still remember absolutely graphically a speech that I heard after the 2002 massacre of Muslims in Gujarat. There were meetings held in Hyderabad to get aid, to collect money, to send to the victims of the Gujarat genocide. One of these meetings, one of the speakers was Professor Kancha Illaya, who is a Dalit and who is a very respected senior professor in Usmani University. And I still remember the man stood there and he said, "You were given a book, and it was your job to convey that book to us. But you did not convey the book to us. You kept the book, you hid the book and you chose to die in your homes and your mahallas. If instead of that you had taken that book and come to us, if you had taken that book out and you had said to yourself that if I'm going to die, I'm going to die in the areas where the Hindus live. I'm going to die in the place where the non-Muslims live, and I'm going to take this book to them, and then if I am killed, I will be killed. He said, you would never have died, you would never have been killed, and the history of this nation would be different. I mean, how tragic it is that every single word the man said is true. And how shameful it is that we have to listen to this from people whose amana we are hiding. The conveying of this deen, tabligh of Islam, is something which is fard on every Muslim man and woman. And this tabligh is not to be done simply by talking about it, but by living. That's the example that Rasulullah gave us. He gave us the example of da'wah with bil amal, da'wah with action. He didn't give da'wah bil qawl, just by talking, just by lecturing and so on and so forth. Today we have reduced our da'wah to, I won't even talk about people who are making a business out of it. Let's forget it. I don't want to talk about this, that kind of stuff. But I'm saying even the others, may Allah forgive us, we think that da'wah means that we must go and give a speech somewhere, or we must print some booklets and distribute them and so on, and that's it. And then how we live our own lives, we think that this does not have an impact on the da'wah. So we find people who are doing the work of tabligh, but when it comes to their own ma'amilat, there's a lot of infighting, there is a lot of deception, there is a lot of abusing of each other, there's fighting for chairs, fighting for position, fighting for authority. Absolutely shameful. Now, what right do we have then to talk about this deen and say to people, focus on the akhirah, do not destroy your akhirah for the sake of this dunya, when we are doing exactly that? We are destroying our akhirah for the sake of dunya. We are seeing this happening in our organizations. We are seeing this happening with many of our scholars and elders who should know better, but they are doing that. Absolutely, completely, totally shameful. So I remind myself and you, let us get out of this. Let us make tawbah right now and ensure that our talk and our walk, our actions and our words are synchronized, that they are not different from each other, that the actions do not give the lie to the words. People listen with their eyes, not with their ears. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. This is true of your children. This is true of everybody in the world. People listen only to those who practice what they preach. And that is what we need to do. We need to wake up and we need to start practicing this beautiful deen of Islam. We need to bring Islam into every aspect of our lives, into our appearances, into our walk and talk, into our business, into our dealings, into our families, into how we treat each other. We have to give up telling lies. We have to give up deceiving each other. We have to give up hiding facts. We have to give up misrepresenting things. We have to be honest. We have to become people of integrity. We must work with faith, knowing that no matter what you try to hide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. You might get away once with hiding something, but when it comes out, the price to pay is huge. Because as I said, it takes a lifetime to build trust. But all it takes is one incident for that trust to be destroyed. So very, very important for us. Truthfulness and trustworthiness go hand in hand. Sidq and amana go hand in hand. A person who is not truthful cannot be trustworthy. And a person who is trustworthy cannot tell a lie. So these two things are interlinked. They are together. And that's the reason why we need to develop truthfulness in ourselves, so that we become trustworthy and that we are trusted. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself, we are the ummah of a messenger. We are the ummah of a Nabi who was called as Sadiqul Amin. Rasulullah was asked, somebody asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, can a Muslim run away in battle? Can he prove to be cowardly? Nabi Sallallahu said, yes. They said, can a Muslim drink alcohol? Nabi Sallallahu said, yes. They said, can a Muslim gamble? He said, yes. Now, can meaning is not permitting them. I'm saying, is it possible that you are a Muslim and you're still doing a bad sin? You're still doing a major sin? That's the question. He said, the man asked, is it possible that a person being a Muslim can still commit murder? Nabi Sallallahu said, yes. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it that a Muslim cannot do? Absolutely cannot do. Nabi Sallallahu said, he cannot tell a lie. Now, when I first heard this hadith, I remember I always used to think to myself, tell a lie, I mean, you know, I know it's bad, but we do it all the time.
our entire social life is based on telling lies and bad talking each other and maligning and slandering. Our entire advertising industry is based on telling lies. We sell things by telling lies. We do all kinds of things. Now, why is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's putting this telling a lie above fornication, above alcohol, above gambling, above murder, about being cowardly. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is making this telling a lie as something as if it's more important than all of this, that this is worse than all of these. Until I realized that that is the root cause. The root cause of all evil is lies. The root cause of all evil is falsehood. If we do not give up falsehood, then every other sin will come into our lives. And if we give up falsehood, then nothing else will be there in our lives. A man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I commit all kinds of sins. He said, I can list it down. If it is there, I do it. Every kind of thing. I would like to give it up, but I can't give up everything. I'm a weak man. Tell me one thing I should give up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, stop telling lies. The man said, this is fine, this is easy. Stop telling lies. Okay, I won't tell lies. Now, that afternoon or that evening, he wants to go to drink with his pals. He thinks to himself, but if I meet the Prophet ﷺ tomorrow and he asks me, what did you do last night? I will have to tell him I was drunk and I can't do that. So he tells his pals, sorry, can't come. He said, why? No, because I can't lie to the Prophet. The same thing happens to him for everything else. The moment he thinks of whatever sin, he thinks to himself, I can't do that because I will have to tell the truth to the Prophet ﷺ if he asks me, because I promised not to tell a lie. So just this one thing, do not tell a lie, cleaned that man's whole life. It cleaned him up completely. He made tawbah. And this is the whole issue of telling lies and truthfulness. They're both interrelated. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us truthful people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are trustworthy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah if we have been doing anything wrong, and to stop doing that, to stop telling lies, to stop being untrustworthy, right now from this moment onwards, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.